well, I should imagine, after the Christmas break and a little bit of rest and relaxation, I believe, in the region. And great to see that he did actually spend his time in the region over Christmas. Those young ears might have returned. Let's introduce him, get stuck straight into it. Member for Barron River, Craig Crawford, joins me this morning. Good morning, Craig. Did you enjoy your Christmas break?
Morning, Murray. We had a couple of weeks just sitting up in a caravan at Tinaroo, so
wow.
Stayed nice and local, didn't go very far. I was still technically on duty, so still doing, you know, things by phone and stuff like that. But, yeah, it was good. It was a good little break. Stayed away from the virus, all that sort of stuff.
Good. What about the challenge? And I guess that's kind of by way of introduction of our main discussion point this morning. How about getting the caravan up and down the Karanda Range? No challenges there at all?
No. It was fine. As long as you got, you know, good co and all that sort of stuff. There's no dramas. Like it's, caravanning, you know, these days are a bit different than what it was, you know, in the 70s and 80s, you know, where granddad had a oversized van with an underpowered car. The tow vehicles today are pretty good. It's pretty rare now to strike a slow caravan on the highway.
That's true. That is true, actually. I guess I've never thought about it like that. And I've got very vivid memories. It probably was back in the 1970s of waiting at an intersection and just what you're talking about, a great big van and a small car. This guy obviously hadn't seen the red light and he put the brakes on too late and did a big slide all the way through the intersection in front of everyone with his caravan hooked on the back. But thankfully, those things don't happen too much these days.
Yeah. No, like I say, it's all pretty modern gear now. And you have a look at the tow vehicles. There's lots of power there. So I think if you see a slow vehicle nowadays, it's probably more driver behavior than it is the vehicle.
The need. Look, let's talk a little bit more about, of course, not just the Karanda Range, but it's obviously a call that we've been hearing for many, many years with respect to an alternative route, more of an industrial route between the Tablelands and further north to the Gulf and, of course, Cape York Peninsula from the Cairns region. Now, look, I have had discussions with Bob, always happy to talk about any particular ideas, but Bob Catt has always been keen on what he calls the bridle track, which would actually mean a lot of tunnelling, which can be expensive, but it's certainly at face value in a lot of ways what he's suggesting does make a lot of sense. But I believe one of the concerns is the opening and, of course, the end of such a project would be in Redlinch. And I should imagine, as far as the state government's concerned, with respect to Redlinch, there'd be some real issues with having such an industrial road coming in and out of such an area.
Oh, look, huge issues for us. You know, anything that's going to that's going to realign or change the way that major arterials work is a big problem. So, the issue for Redlinch is that suddenly if you're going to put the entrance or exit or both of a major arterial and drop it into a residential area that currently doesn't have that, that's going to mean that Main Road is going to have to make significant changes to the alignments in Redlinch. That's going to mean that suburban streets are going to turn into a highway. That's going to mean that a number of houses of people that live there, their houses are going to be resumed, reclaimed, taken back off them, demolished. it's going to mean that small suburban streets are going to turn into a highway. Just that small piece alone, without even thinking about the World Heritage Area, the costings, the business case, the timings, everything like that, just the piece of Redlinch alone is enough for me to really have big concerns on that. I'm not knocking it out of the park completely.
Yeah.
But I think we've got to, when we look at the range, we've got four crossings that go across the range at the moment. We've done a lot of work just recently analysing each of those. There's no doubt about it that in time there's either going to have to be a fifth crossing or there's going to have to be definitely a beefing up of the current ones that we have. But what we've got to do is we've got to look at this, we've got to use evidence, we've got to use everything that we've got in our toolbox to try and get the best option for this rather than just saying let's just do this one. Let's not do any sort of, you know, let's not do any work on it. Let's just get the dozers out and start doing it now. Like, that is just not going to fly.
Now, look, a lot of people are often very upset about the World Heritage listing and, of course, some of the impacts that that has on future planning and some of the things that we can and can't do. It might be a double-edged sword in a lot of ways, because obviously that World Heritage listing is one of the things that we've basically, it's a feather in our cap, it's one of the strong backbones to our tourism draw for people all around the world. So I guess it's the thing of balancing, you know, those competing options as well.
Yeah, look, you know, the moment that you're proposing to put a significant, bit of infrastructure through a World Heritage area, it's going to attract worldwide attention. So you better make sure you've done your homework. You better make sure you've got your ducks in a line. It's probably similar to, you know, drilling for oil on the Great Barrier Reef. You're going to get attention from all over the world when you do it. So it doesn't mean that you can't. But it means that you've really, really got to have done your homework. And that's going to take a lot of time. So just the planning stage to do something like that would be probably 15 years at least, which, as I say, doesn't knock it out of the park. But, you know, anyone that thinks that, you know, construction could start on a project like that, you know, in the short term is really, really misguided. We're doing work at the moment on what short, medium and long-term plans look like for the range. One of the issues that we have is that the number of vehicles that go across the range just isn't really, really high, and that's going to be a problem for us when we're trying to put together business cases and things like that. It's, you know, we're not talking about 35 and 40 and 50,000 cars a day. We're talking about something like 8 to 14, which when we, you know, when we've got to try and go cap in hand to Canberra and Brisbane, looking for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, probably into the billions of dollars, that's going to be a very hard business case to put together.
Is it a situation, though, with respect to those numbers, that a lot of that industrial traffic has to go further south, say down the Palmerston Highway, because of the issues there with the Karanda Range and heavy traffic? So are those type of things also taken into consideration, though?
They are, and I think that's an avenue that we probably need to explore better, is the B-double capacity. So certainly the Karanda Range at the moment, B-doubles are not allowed on it. They've got a decouple up at Speewa if they're coming down. I'd be interested certainly in the medium term to understand better from experts just what it would take to bring the current road up to B-double standard. In saying that, you know, there's two bits that go with that. One is obviously making the road to the standard that the trucks can traverse it. The other one is making sure that the rest of the traffic has the ability to get around it. So that might include things like more and longer overtaking lanes. That could be, you know, plans to take some of the sharp corners out, those sorts of things. But again, you know, that's probably, you know, that's 10 years worth of work, which doesn't knock it out of the park. But it could be within the current alignment, which, you know, makes it a bit more palatable when we're talking about the World Heritage Area.
Okay, look, it's always been one of those vexing issues, and I know that, you know, it's not a simple fix, as we've just discussed as well, but of course it's one of those things that continues to haunt us here in the tropical north. At least that situation with the Barron River Bridges at Karanda has, basically now been dealt with, at least in the shorter term, but I guess that's put additional focus onto the issue in the last little while. Great to talk to you. Welcome back to 2022, and I'm sure that we'll talk on a fairly regular basis as interesting things start to unfold right across our state. Good on you, Craig.
Cheers, Murray. Thanks very much.
Have a fantastic day. Of course, member for Barron River, Minister for Seniors and Disability Services, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Partnerships, Craig Crawford, my special guest this morning.